This is the Save My HSC show. For more free resources, go to savemyhse.com.au.
G'day guys, welcome to the Save My HSC show, the go-to resource for help with HSC English. Each episode is syllabus focused and can be digested in under 15 minutes. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about semicolons. Are they just longer commas or are they meant to be used as colons? I know that when I first was introduced to these things, I was very confused and probably not ready to learn about them yet. I think that was probably late primary school or maybe early high school. So at the time, it was just really confusing. And I think that that's the experience that most people have when they're learning about these things, which is why such an important part of grammar kind of slides under the rug, and plus nobody seems to care about grammar. But I'd like to also in this episode just quickly touch on why grammar is a little bit important. So grammar and punctuation, I should say, not just grammar. Sorry, I'm using the wrong context there. But it's quite ironic that I'm actually talking about what I'm about to talk about. But bad grammar and punctuation is probably the fastest path towards looking stupid that you can find. There is nothing more frustrating than reading a piece of work and having the wrong context of something put down. Like it's, you know, it's almost like you lose your message when you don't get this right. You know, you can say, oh yeah, it's not that important now, I'm doing creative writing, I'm doing essays. But if you screw up a cover letter or a resume or something like that when you're sending it out to a potential employer, I mean, imagine if you're going to, say, a huge company that is literally looking at thousands and thousands of people. Do you want to give them a tiny little reason to just shove your resume in the bin? Like, that's all they're looking for. I've spoken to recruiters. This is what they do. They literally just go, give me a reason to chuck this in the bin and not have to deal with this one person. So don't give them those extra reasons. First things first, let's have a look at a few definitions of our different punctuation marks. Yay! Everyone loves grammar. It's like the fun topic. So a comma, really, in the way that you're going to use it, is just a pause. It's not a complete sentence yet. So now we've got to think, because we're saying a semicolon, right? It's a comma, but it's also a full stop. Like, you know, it's a full stop above a comma, which is kind of a weird type of, an item to use. So colon really is just a punctuation mark used to kind of precede a list of items, a quotation or an expansion or an explanation. The colon, I'm sure I see most students, they will use this correctly, which is okay. The only thing to note on colons is before the colon, your preceding item can be a complete sentence. But if it isn't, so if you're adding, say, information afterwards that's linked to the, like, if the wording beforehand can't stand on its own as a sentence, if it looks funny, you don't capitalize the words that come after the colon. Whereas if it is a complete sentence, you will have to capitalize afterwards. I wouldn't worry too much about those little details too much, because for all intents and purposes, you probably won't come across the problem too often, because quite often it will be an incomplete sentence. And so obviously a full stop. Now the thing that a lot of people don't realize is a full stop is actually the end of a logical and complete thought. So, you know, let's think about this now. We've got a full stop that is the end of a logical and complete thought. A comma is merely a pause, and a semicolon. So I mean, a colon's a punctuation mark. You know, it's like more information's going to follow, but it's kind of like it can be a complete sentence, but something less than a colon might not be a complete sentence. So you're starting to see how they kind of fit together. So I suppose what I would, you know, the simplest way to put information onto what a semicolon is in between a comma and a full stop. What I would probably say the simplest way to understand it is it's two related ideas, but there's not enough gap of a gap in the thought processes to actually start a new sentence. So say you've got two quite related sentences, but it's like stopping for a comma might not make sense. Like they might be so different that they might not necessarily need a comma. You know, you might go, oh, I want to put a full stop here, but it's still related to the previous one. So where this might come to be useful when you're writing in your modules or you know, writing your essays is if you are, say, introducing something a bit broadly and then you wanted to drill down a little bit deeper. Because a lot of the times when I'm reading feedback from what markers are saying is the teacher will give feedback on a point where the student was broad and they'll say, hey, you didn't cover this topic. And then in the following sentences, lo and behold, the student will actually write on that topic. So the way to avoid that is you could put a semicolon and have the related content in the same sentence. So the teacher won't put her, you know, she won't click her marking pen on until she's read that full sentence. Do you see how tiny little tricks can give you those little benefits? Now, I know you're probably never going to read this book, but if you can just have it as a reference book so that you can pick out pages, I would recommend it. It's called The Blue Book of Grammar and Punctuation by Jane Strauss. Now, she was the Jane Strauss. She was quite an interesting character. She wrote a book on grammar and punctuation. I don't know what that says about a person to write an entire book on the topic, but Having used it to improve my own grammar and punctuation, I have to say it is a comprehensive guidebook and it's been really helpful. I actually call this my torture book because it's the book that when students, when I'm tutoring them and they if they consistently don't do their homework, I'll literally be like, hey, I'm going to get out the Blue Book of Grammar and Punctuation, and then we'll do exercises based on the Blue Book of Grammar and Punctuation, and it is the funniest thing to watch their faces just go into like, oh no, not the grammar, not the grammar. So that's a fun way that I like to pass my time. But I would recommend at least looking at certain sections. If there's something that you're unclear on, just use it as a reference book. Open it up when you need it. Don't read it all the time, but like you'll go insane. Like you'll be one of those weird people that are locked up in a mental asylum or, you know, living on an island just away from anyone. That's what'll happen, I imagine, if you read the entire book from cover to cover. I'm going on complete anecdotal evidence. This is probably not a, you know, there's no science behind what I'm saying, but I assume that this is the logical path. Jane Strauss is, I guess I've mentioned she's interesting, possibly quite interesting because she wrote a book on grammar. But she's got four rules for semicolons. So I'll give you a few examples just so that you have an idea of how to run with them. So as we mentioned before, a semicolon can replace a period if the writer wishes to narrow the gap between two closely linked sentences. Isn't that fun? So that's probably the most common usage that I would recommend that you you work with in your essay. Oh, excuse me, I got the hiccups. So an example is, call me tomorrow, semicolon, you can give me an answer then, full stop. And then another one is, we have paid our dues, semicolon. We expect all the privileges listed in the contract, full stop. So that's how we have paid our dues could be a complete sentence. Call me tomorrow could be a full sentence, but they're not very descriptive sentences. They don't have that much information. So by adding that extra detail in the same sentence, you're essentially giving more of a reason for a marker to go, oh, they know what they're talking about. They're not being vague. They're being specific in their writing. And that, you know, you're not going to cop that irritating, you haven't talked about this in the paragraph, or, you know, you haven't covered this particular idea. what I'll do, the English teacher voice like that. Like, I know there are English teachers who don't sound like that. I just have this this one English teacher in particular I remember from my schooling days that sounded like that, and it's like she's become this caricature in my life of like what all English teachers are like, even though I know logically that is not the case, which is very, very interesting. So the rule number two is use a semicolon before such words and terms as namely, however, therefore, that is. So, for example, you could say, bring any two items, semicolon, however, comma, sleeping bags and tents are in short supply. So, putting that semicolon makes it kind of fit, before the however. Because however is a bit of a, you can start a sentence with however. It's not a great way to start a sentence, but have you ever felt like, you want to write however, and then you start on a new sentence and it feels stupid? That's, this is why. This is where you could go, look, there's a semicolon. Give me, this is what gives your sentences fluidity and makes them a little bit prettier. Because we all want to dress up our sentences, right? That's our ultimate goal is give your sentence a pretty dress. Or pants, if you prefer. Do you know Romans thought that it was barbaric to wear pants? I have to say, I disagree with the Romans on a lot of issues, but I completely see where they were coming from with this, because pants suck. They are the most uncomfortable things you can imagine. And I don't know why girls so consistently are opting to wear pants, because they have the option for dresses. It just seems like a sensible option. I don't know. Maybe the Scots got it right as well. Who knows? So the third example is use a semicolon to separate units of a series when one or more of the units contain commas. So when you have too many commas, your sentences look a bit dumb, right? Probably not the best use of language there, is it? But sentences, with lots of commas, really, really ugly. So let's see. The example they gave here is, the conference has people who have come from Moscow, comma, Idaho, comma, Springfield, comma, California, comma, Alamo, comma, Tennessee, comma, and other places as well. So that sentence clearly stinks, as I'm sure you can appreciate. Now let's read it with a semicolon. The conference has people who have come from Moscow, comma, Idaho, semicolon, Springfield, comma, California, semicolon, Alamo, comma, Tennessee, semicolon, and other places as well. So I'm going to read that without talking about the semicolons and commas, and you'll see how much smoother that seems to the ear. So the conference So the conference has people who have come from Moscow, Idaho, Springfield, California, Alamo, Tennessee, and other places as well. So see how there was let's read the other one now, because a semicolon's giving me a little bit more of a gap as well, because it's closer to a full stop, right? So let's read the incorrect one. So the conference has people who have come from Moscow, Idaho, Springfield, California, Alamo, Tennessee, and other places as well. I know I'm being emphatic here, and it's probably making it sound worse, but I hope that is a good example of a very, very boring topic. And let's go for the fourth and final usage of a semicolon, because this has been a lot more fun to record than I expected it to be. So I hope it's coming across as I hope the fun is coming across at least, because I'm probably going to be suicidal after I finish recording. Who knows? Topic is a little bit boring. So a semicolon may be used between independent clauses joined by a connector. Ooh, such as and, but, or, nor, etc. So when one or more commas appear in the first clause. That's a fun one. So an example of this: when I finish here, comma, and I will soon, comma, I'll be glad to help you, semicolon. So it's almost like they're finishing the sentence there, and then they go, after the semicolon, and that is a promise I will keep. So I'll say it again without the semicolons and commas. So when I finish here, and I will soon, I'll be glad to help you. And that is a promise I will keep. So see how smoothly that rolls off the tongue? This is why, you know, grammar and punctuation seems really annoying, seems a bit shit, nobody really cares about it. However, it can have an enormous impact on how your words and your ideas and your thoughts are communicated. So I hope that's been helpful. Thank you for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, please rate and subscribe. Tell your friends about it. And let's work together in making the HSC a little bit more bearable. So have fun. Bye.